You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Adora Udoji is away. We're taking the supermom pulse of America today, or maybe it's more correct to say that we're taking America's pulse on the issue of supermoms with Sarah Palin's experience in mind. Can a woman be a mom and a world leader?
Hello, I'm a working mother, and it is hard having young children and doing your job well. However, if we judge people by the children they have, it's a form of discrimination, and I think all positions, including vice president or presidency, should be open to those who work and are mothers, even if they have young children.
Is this an issue only for Americans? Historically, what do you think? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. We turn to Iraq now, and as the presidential campaign heats up, the issue of Iraq as a presidential campaign issue seems to be receding. President Bush intends to keep roughly the same number of U.S. forces in the country through the end of the year, but he's going to announce today that he's going to bring home 8,000 troops by February. In a speech this morning, the president is expected to say more forces could withdraw early next year, but now the situation isn't going to change much. But as Iraq becomes less violent, the opposite is true in Afghanistan, where the security situation is deteriorating. We may be seeing a surge in Afghanistan over the next year or so. To sort this out, we're turning to Nathan Fryer, a senior command Iraq war general and a defense policy analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, where he joins us from. Nathan Fryer, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, John.
Do you see a withdrawal from Iraq, even the tentative steps that Bush is apparently going to announce today, as a precursor to what will be a more quiet surge in Afghanistan?
Well, I think with respect to Afghanistan, ultimately the impending transition in Washington will give the new president an opportunity to take a fresh look at the mission there. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, however, that there will be a significant increase in U.S. forces. Instead, I think U.S. forces, the United States has multiple options in Afghanistan, and all are pegged, really, to the objectives that we decide to pursue there over time. We could see an increase, as well as an increase in the pace of U.S. operations, but we could also see forces stay at about the same level, but perhaps change their composition and their methods of employment.
Certainly, 4 years ago, the issue of Iraq was, as hot as it could be, and that continued after the re-election of President Bush. But now it seems the political pressure, the Washington and domestic political pressure focused on Iraq, is receding. Does that change the situation for decision makers in the field or people in the Pentagon, do you think?
Well, Iraq clearly is on a general glide path that will result ultimately in some change in U.S. posture and mission there. The pace and the scope of that change, I would argue, will come as a result of deliberate recommendations made from the Central Command headquarters in Tampa, as well as the command in Baghdad, and then ultimately deliberate decisions made in Washington. I expect U.S. commanders and political leaders will take their time and an utmost amount of prudence in making their decisions in this regard.
On the issue of Afghanistan, certainly General Petraeus, who now is running CENTCOM, was brought into Iraq because he was perceived to be someone who was really, really good at counterinsurgency strategy. Do you think he's the best man for the job in the very different battlefield and different strategy and tactics that are required in Afghanistan?
Well, clearly, I think we have the right team in place in my mind, both in the Pentagon and Washington, as well as across the theater. I mean, I believe the SECDEF's temperament and the quality of the current leadership in Generals Petraeus, Odierno, and McKiernan indicate that an increased consensus way forward is the likeliest outcome of the deliberations that will occur over the next few months. So in that regard, I think we have a very capable and solid team that will make decisions for the future of U.S. posture in both Iraq, Afghanistan, and the wider region.
Although I have to say, Colonel, that sounds a little bit bureaucratic. I mean, we have had reports from the border of Pakistan and Afghanistan that, the Pakistani army is putting on a bit of a charade in the way that it pretends to fight the Taliban, but actually doesn't. And the U.S. is sort of conducting drone raids on the border almost in opposition to Pakistan and Afghan forces. It seems like a very unstable situation at this point. I'm wondering if any team can improve the situation.
Well, Pakistan presents a unique challenge to the United States in that it is in some regards providing sanctuary, unknowingly or unknowingly, to the challenges we face in Afghanistan specifically. I think in that regard, though, we have to be awfully cautious and take a risk-informed approach to how we deal with Pakistan, in that the one thing we probably can't afford is to have both an unstable Afghanistan and unstable Pakistan at the same time. I'd argue, actually, that with respect to the sanctuary challenge in Pakistan, we have to actually look at it as a management challenge more than as a challenge we're going to resolve absolutely in the near term.
Although I hear you saying, and we just have a few seconds, if this does escalate, if something significant happens, it's going to be quiet, it's going to be behind the scenes, it's going to be special ops. True?
Well, I think, I think clearly,
sounds like a yes.
Given Iraq's sovereignty, it's going to be, given Pakistan's a sovereign nation, we're going to have to actually be very careful and nimble in our employment of any U.S. capabilities inside Pakistan.
All right, Nathan Fryer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Nathan Fryer is a retired U.S. Army lieutenant colonel and is at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington. Now, headlines from Femi Okeh.
Thank you very much. 21 minutes to the top of the hour.